Hello, tres leches babies, my little angels, our little milkers. That was weird. Why is milkers so weird? I know why it's weird, but that is the word, and that's what you are. Anyway, hi, it's Ian, Juan, and Johnny here, and we are still riding a high from the Queerty Awards last week. God, say that again, Ian. Queerty Awards. That's another one. Why is the word queerty here? Okay. Are we on? Just, Juan, just cut all of this. We are still riding a high from the Queerty Awards last week. There we go. Nice qua. We were nominated for Best Podcast of the Year, and we didn't snag the trophy, but who cares? It's fine. It's fine. It was unforgettable, but Juan, can you take this? I'm sorry. I'm just feeling emotional about this.
Oh, Ian, I'm happy to take it away. Don't worry, please, save your tears for the next TikTok apology video. The Queerties, well, wow, it was an unforgettable night. Catch all the glitz and the glamour on our Instagram. Ian made a great reel. You should check it out. It's on his Instagram, available now. But today we've got a very special episode from our vault for you. Why was this gem of an episode hidden away? We're not sure, really, but it was, and here we are.
It's filled with our usual banter, wild, wild thoughts, and maybe a few why-did-we-say-that moments. Join us for the journey into the unknown, including the cities we'd love or loathe to live in. It's fun. It's a never-before-aired episode, the second we actually ever recorded. It's messy and chaotic, but baby, so are you. On to the show!
Hello, everybody. Hi.
I'm Ian, for anyone who's just getting, like, used to all of our voices. I'm the high-pitched one who sounds like my sister. My name is Ian, and welcome to this episode of Tres Leches. And I would like to welcome my amazing co-hosts, Juani and Johnny.
Hello. Good morning. To me, all podcasts are listened to at 7 a.m., so I will always say good morning, even though that's not quite the case. It's also because in my mind, I'm Katie Couric. So this is morning television, no matter what.
Oh my God.
By the way, I'm Juan Torres Falcon. Hi.
And I'm Johnny, and I'm ready to kiki with the girls.
Yes.
Oh, hi, Johnny.
Hi.
How's everybody doing?
Hi.
You better know, now.
I'll go first. I'm good. I'm happy to be with you both. I'm doing all right. As the great Cece Babcock once said on The Nanny, I am just not a well woman. Like, I'm just kind of in a state of unwellness. Mm. And I've been that way for, I don't know, maybe a decade. No.
Thank you for being here.
I don't know. I'm holding on. I'm holding on. Mm. It's been an interesting... I have a lot of like good things going on in my life, mm-hmm. but then in other aspects, I feel like I'm kind of in free fall. Yeah. So I feel all over the place today. But this was what I was looking forward to, because I find talking to people very centering mm-hmm. when I can get it out. You know, that's how mm-hmm. I am. How are you guys?
I want to know, Johnny.
Oh.
Oh my God, I love it. We're such like nice
no,
boys,
but you
raised
no,
by
but
mothers
me.
Who are like, yeah. How is Austin?
Austin is so great. I went to the Austin City Limits Music Festival this weekend, which was really nice.
We saw.
It was like a smaller mm-hmm. version of Coachella with a lot more like mm-hmm. people set up in chairs and blankets. I was like, oh, okay, we're setting up camp in the festival.
It's giving backyard.
It's giving, I'm tripping over your three-year-old child while shirtless in a field. Yeah, and I got my phone stolen, which was, I will say, I have never lost my phone, and I have never had my phone stolen. Truth be told, in the however 20 many years I've had a phone, I have never had it lost or stolen. But this happened, and
you've had a phone for longer than that.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing so hard because that was giving me like when my mom is like, that thing has never happened to me. I don't understand why God decided that today. Like, as though like, there goes my record.
But as God will have it, I was taken care of because I was with the hunkiest Brazilian man who was,
and he had direct access to an Apple iPhone.
He did. He helped me secure that my phone was marked lost. His boyfriend was also very sweet. And I was, you know, I was just an accompanied accessory to them for the rest of the day. And that was, you know, it really made me forget that I was not in touch with the rest of the world.
Wow.
Wow. Well, put a pin in this because we're going right back to Austin. But I just want to say, Ian, are you well? We're going to get to you later. Oh. You got big news.
Yeah. I am well. I am officially moved out of 410. Wow. In Los Angeles, California.
Wait, so where are you now? Change.
I am currently at my friends Nick and JT, they live in Hollywood, and so I'm doing a stint here before I leave for New York on Monday. And I too, in the midst of all of this, you know, not literal chaos around me, because everything was handled pretty well. Like, I was really good about organizing before the movers came, and they did most of the packing. So there was a lot that I didn't have to tend to, but the chaos was more in my mind. As we know, moving is the worst. I hate moving, but at the same, or rather now I can say, and throughout, like, I survived it. I did it, and I did it all by myself. And that's not like something to be like proud of, but it's just like, I'm shocked. Even my dad yesterday, we were on the phone. He was like, well, I'm sure you did it better than I could have. And I'm just like, yeah, probably, because I have my mom in me. And like, just, you know, it just, I handled it all.
Drag him.
And I'm just really happy it's done.
I can't believe that you did it alone. I can't believe it.
It's crazy.
I moved in March, and I had my mother. I'm forced. Listen, I'm an independent woman. So mistake me for whores. I always considered myself. I've always thought I was a very independent woman.
Yeah.
Not a well woman, but an independent one. I had my mother. My mom was like, "I'm going to come for a week and help you with a move." And she was here for, I think she was here for 6 weeks or something insane. It wasn't that long, but it was like many weeks. I was having spirals, right. miniature spirals kind of constantly throughout it. So she wasn't so much logistically helping me, although she was doing that. She was more so just keeping me from the loony bin. I was also like moving out of an apartment that I've been for 8 years, and it was like a whole thing. But I'm so happy that you got it done. You must feel like,
yes.
Do you feel like that?
I do. I definitely, the second the movers came and that big portion of it was done, and then you kind of, you know, you're able to see what it is you have left to do. The to-do list got shorter, and therefore my stress was, you know, was lowered. And it's funny, I woke up, when was it, like 2 or 3 days ago, and my Apple Watch on the health data app, I sent it to you, that my average heart rate went up like 12 ticks or like two.
I just have 12 to ticks. Say,
and then I like was sending what?
I just have to say,
what?
This conversation, I checked mine. I was
this
like,
conversation is such a 30-year-old conversation, because I don't know about the two of you, but when we moved to New York, in our younger years, the idea of stress level and or to-do list or all of that felt so frivolous, and it was just about getting to where I needed to go. So the fact that now, as we get older, there's so many steps that we take in order to make ourselves comfortable in getting our intended result is so funny
for
to
sure.
me, just knowing how much we just – rush through life before. You know what I mean? I just found it so funny.
That's what I'm saying, is that in the midst of what of the chaos and just what a move brings, there was some really good mindfulness. I was actually pretty like, wow, I'm on top of this thing. And like, you know, I'm not giving you type A, like, there's a pad and paper, I'm sorry, a pad and pen and to-do list, all of that kind of shit. But like, it was... You're just like, I got to step up to this plate, because baby, ain't nobody else was here to do it for me or with me. So like, you just got to, you like step into shoes that you just can't avoid it. Well, of course I had movers. Yeah. But but like, it's, you know, you're like thinking about what you want to get rid of. You're
tell them what kind of car your father drove you to school in.
Be honest.
Yeah, be honest. be honest.
It depends. It really depends. It was the 80s. Literally, that is me. That is me.
No, Johnny, for sure.
We didn't talk
and
about
I'm
this.
And I'm David Beckham.
I.
Well, Ellen. You well, are. Ellen, that's not
you
true.
Ellen, that's not true. Oh, wow. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Anyway, all of this to say, yeah, Juan, you're going to say something that I'm curious about.
Happy for you, and I think that a return to New York is exactly what
the doctor ordered.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and that is correct. The other thing prescribed. Is I was having a hard time focusing or being excited for this big giant move that everyone else was like, oh my god, like every single person I told that it was happening to, mind you, I kept it, I didn't tell anybody. My sister found out the day of that I posted my moving story. She's like, where are you going? I was like, to New York. She's like, oh my god, because I just, until it was all done, until it was like, you know, we're on step three over here, I was like, I don't want to really sure. talk about it. And and everyone's more excited for you, but I was like, oh, I'm not there yet. Like, I'm still second guessing every single second of it, but that's just me with decisions in general. It's a big move. You're stressed. I'm not able to, it was just hard to focus on the excitement. But now that this has been, you know, I'm feeling mm-hmm. less, you know, stressed. I'm so looking forward to it and I'm having a nice time. I want to have a relaxing week here. I'm going to go to Jessie Ware tonight. She's here in LA.
I just saw her.
I'm gonna, like, oh yes. I'm really excited. Yeah, that's where, yes, that video that you posted of her, I was like, oh, it's giving like, I was confused as to what it was giving in terms of like, it seemed so sparse. It didn't seem that busy.
Oh, it's not. So don't expect a full, like, it just, you know, the dancers are dancing. I was enthralled by the dancers and the backup singers because they're called the Pearlettes. And she kind of like, and you know what I love about her? It's just, you know, Jessie Ware is a woman of a certain age and she's dancing, she's hitting her marks. And it feels just very like fun and auntie vibes and like the voice is there. Okay. And it just, you know what I mean? It's like, she's not trying to prove that she's something that she's not. And I think that's so refreshing, especially in today's music. And she
totally.
And the crowd is just so happy to be there. You know, it's just, and her fans are super
sweet.
That's
actually what I was talking about. I was talking about the sparseness of the crowd. I felt like I was
the crowd.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I was noticing kind of how like, you know, smaller of a Coachella it was. It just felt kind of like, I was like, are we on a farm?
Yeah.
Is, you know?
Oh, you mean
he was talking about the Spartanness of the audience. I love how you went to the production.
Well,
it was a
it was a sparse
the New York
production.
Times reviews Jessie Ware's in a sparse production in Austin. Jessie Ware took to the stage amongst a few so-called pearlies. Things, pearlies. Beautiful pearl things behind
pearls,
her.
Sort of.
She, oh I will God. Say, she went on at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And if you know anything about music festivals, you know that is an early start time, especially on the second day of a music festival when the girls are tweaked till the end of the day. You know what I mean? So she was very sweet and she said, thank you guys for coming out so early. You know, and we were like, you're welcome. I was like, she deserves to be later, but you know. Alas.
Yeah, it's a nighttime vibe. It's like
totally relaxed. Like the disco. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's not a 2 p.m. 2 p.m. is for like a singer who's like, I came here to this country. We got a lot of things going on. We brought our children and they're a lot of fun. I'm fighting for the future, but I'm taking from the past. And baby, this marriage, I'm gonna make it last. You got 1 foot in the pocket. You got 2 foot in the back. You got a big old truck with a big old heart. And mama, my God, a big old ass. I'm an ass man. I'm a boob man. I'm as straight as heck can be. The most important thing is liberty.
Oh wow,
that's what should be at 2 p.m.
Wow,
I feel like that has some legs there. And I'm
that's what I expect at 2 p.m. at Austin City Limits.
Oh my god, I'm sweating. I'm sweating like I was at that concert. That is so good. Oh wow.
We're gonna get back to New York, but I have a question about Austin. And I first got a question about, I have practical questions about your phone. Uh-huh. And then I have questions about Austin as a thing.
Okay. Yeah.
First question about the phone. So when did you realize it wasn't there? Was it giving like, what was that? Where's my phone?
It was very much giving that. Because if you both know me, like I'm constantly on my phone. Like it is glued to my hand. So as I was walking through the crowd with this man I had just met,
I snorted.
I realized after we got through the crowd, I reached through my phone to look for my friends. And I realized my phone was gone. And I said, oh, my God, my phone's gone. And he's like, oh, my God, let's call it. So we call it. Immediately, it's turned off. And I immediately was like, oh, it's stolen.
That's
and
how he's you
like,
knew.
And then he goes, so sweet. He's like, do you want to retrace your steps? And then I look, and it's just a massive crowd. I'm like, baby, we're not retracing anyone's steps. It's gone. Let's go. And everybody that I told after that was like, wow, you're so chill about this. I'm like, what am I going to do? Ruin everyone else's time because I lost my phone or like, you know, didn't have, it's really fine. I just have to stay with you people in order to make sure that, you know, I find my way.
Not but a problem. Not a bad problem to have.
I just have to stay here.
I have to stay here.
It reminds me of like, anywhere. You know, saying that you've lost your phone is like such an equalizer because people automatically treat you better. It's like when you go to a bar with friends and you're like, I'm not drinking for the night. And everyone's like, you have to drink. I want to buy you a drink. When I was broke in New York and I used to say that to people, I would drink free all night because they were like, no, you have to have a drink. And I'm like, ugh, fine.
Work. You heard it here first, or maybe not, but definitely that's the first time I heard it.
Yeah, well,
Joanne the scammer. No, because I live and breathe.
And I love anytime I run into a scam, it's always by accident. Like the first time I did that, I was like, you know, I really wasn't drinking. And then people were like offering. And then when I went home that night, I'm like, wow, I didn't spend a dime on drinks today. And it's only because I was so adamant in saying that I wasn't going to drink. Because as you know, New York is very much a culture of, you know, more, more, more. So anyway, I started using that after the fact.
I love
that. And so you lost the phone, but tell me about Austin City Limits. Would you recommend it? Like, is it something you would like to go to again? Was it fun?
Yeah.
I absolutely
overall vibes.
I truly had such a wonderful time. Shania Twain, I just remember like singing
what?
All of those.
All that.
Shania Twain is still the one. And like, you know, there's one thing to be like at a music festival in the EDM, glasses on, lollipop in your mouth. That's one vibe. But then seeing someone that is part of your childhood, Alanis Morissette was there as well. So there was like, you ought to know, like so many moments where it was like nostalgic and you're in
this is fabulous.
You know, and people are smoking pot and you're just, it's very free. You know, music festivals, I think are always the way to go because you pay a small fee and you see so many different acts because I'm a fan of a lot of artists, but I'm not enough to go to a specific concert for them. You know, and this is just an opportunity to go to a bunch of 1-2 hour sets and, you know, have a time and move on to the next thing. So I definitely recommend Austin City Limits. I recommend Austin, the city in general. It feels like such a city and a small town. There's a lot of young people. The food. I ate some mac and cheese yesterday. And I truly said out loud as I was eating it, There's no food like the South, baby. There is no mac and cheese like the mac and cheese that they make here, you know? So I highly recommend.
My mouth is watering.
Let me tell you, as a connoisseur of men, you both know the men
know what you're
here,
talking about,
the bottom halves of men, the legs, the asses on these men and white men too are – I'm like, what are they eating? Is it corn?
Mac and cheese?
I was like, corn isn't digestible.
Subway? Exactly. It may not be digestible, but you still get the calories, baby.
You get the butter. You absorb the butter. You absorb the salt.
Yes. No, it's Chipotle. It's Subway. It's Arby's.
It's also
Jimmy John's. It's CrossFit and then like four Quest bars.
Football culture down in the South also is very heavy. So I feel like a lot of these boys are ex-linebackers. You know what I'm saying? Like, ooh, So yes, I highly recommend Austin if you don't want to visit.
So
yeah, if you want to visit, should I say?
So what inspired, as you know, as we're, there seems to be a lot of like kind of wanderlust in the air, like the idea of like wanting to be somewhere else. There's a little bit, there seems to be a want to be somewhere new in the air, I should say. Like why, what took you from LA to Austin in this moment, Johnny?
Oh gosh. Well, two reasons. I feel the strike was happening, the SAG after a WGA strike were happening this summer. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't really want to be in LA right now. I've come to 6 years in LA and I'm wondering if that's the place I want to stay, if I want to go back to New York, if I want to move somewhere quieter. So Austin has always been kind of on my radar as places that I enjoy visiting and always want to stay longer. So two-part. It's like I'm not working, so I might as well do an apartment swap with a friend, which is what I did. And also just the curiosity of what life could look like if it wasn't the, you know, quote-unquote, what it's supposed to be. Like, actor living in LA, actor living in New York. Like, what could it possibly look like to live in a city that wasn't built around this quest for incredible ambition? So that's part of it. And I just feel like I don't have children. I don't have a suitor that is in one place. So why the hell not explore all those things?
No, you have suitors in many places, John.
I got hoes in different area codes. It's a great song.
Yeah, great song.
It is a great song. It's a hit. It's a hit.
It's a hit. You know, I was just going to say, like, Johnny, about your Austin decision and all of that, like, that was coming at a time where obviously this year I was so back and forth with New York and just always feeling like, I don't know if LA was really the place for me or whatever. And I remembered I do a lot of like my decision making based off of how it lights me up, how it's received by like my support group, like my friends and all of that. And I remembered feeling very, not so alone anymore when another person who is close to my age, my peer, one of my best friends, we're both in the exact same business and like was sharing the same kind of like yearning for something else, the curiosity for something else. And I remembered, I just want to say like that made me feel kind of just nice. It made me feel not alone in that we're not wrong to want to go seek out like, more life that doesn't necessarily only have to do with our business and like, and our pursuit of acting. And I remembered feeling like, you know, super inspired and kind of like, I was like motivated that like, I have a friend who's like, he doesn't want to be here anymore. So he's going to go try something new. And that was really nice when I also was making a pretty big decision in moving to New York. And I don't know if I've ever told you that.
Yeah. I mean, I think you've mentioned it before. Well, like we've both been like, oh, thank God you feel this way because that makes me feel less alone. Yeah. But I always like liken it to, you know, when you go and try on clothes at a store and, you know, you're trying things on, you might try something that isn't usually your flavor. And, you know, you come out of the dressing room to get your friend's opinion. And, you know, it's nice to take those things in, but it's like ultimately it's going to be you. It's going to be your choice. You're the one spending your money. You're the one wearing it. So why not try it if it makes you feel good? If you can afford the bra, if you can, you know, if you want to go out in it, you do that. Like someone told me when I was saying, maybe I'll go to Austin for a bit. They're like, well, I hope whatever decision you make is the right decision. And I was like, well, whatever decision I make is going to be the right decision because it's the decision I make. You know what I mean? So, and I think also as your friend and your relationship with New York, I think we all, the reason why a lot of us are like, congratulations and so excited for you is because we see you going back and enjoying and to posting the stories and having such a good time and riding the bike. So we see the joy that comes from you when you're doing those things. Mm. So when you make the decision, even though it's a little scarier because you're the one making it, we're all like, yeah, that feels right for her. Wouldn't you say, Juan?
I would agree. I mean, I the reason I'm really curious is to like your motivations for moving at this point in this moment, even though, or, you know, maybe Ian's is a more permanent move, sort of semi-permanent move to your completely temporary situation, Johnny. I'm interested because I have lived in New York for so many years, mm-hmm. 18 years, and it's so easy for New York to become a part of the one's identity. Yeah. A city like this eclipses who you are. It becomes who you are. Los Angeles to a lesser extent, but as far as big cities in the United States of America, LA is probably number two in that kind of the kind of identity that it creates for you just by being there. And that joy that Ian is, that he summons when he posts from here, when he talks about New York, is something that I am afraid of losing. Right? It's what's really kept me here because in New York is it's, I've lived in New York longer than I've not lived in New York. You know, it's 18 plus years now. So even though Miami to me, it, when people ask me where I'm from, I will always say I'm from Miami and I live in New York because Miami is, you know, what it is. Miami, una cosa especial. O sea, that, you can't take that away. And, but I'm so happy that Ian gets to like get, you know, rejoin in that spark, but I'm afraid I had considered, I'm not considering it so much anymore, but I had really been considering moving to Fort Lauderdale, South Florida. And, I just wanted, I felt like I really needed a change and maybe being close to my family would be nice. And I could still come up to New York a lot. And I thought about it. I'm not thinking about it as much anymore, but I didn't pull the trigger because I was afraid of what that would mean. What leaving New York would mean, not only for who I am, but also what people would think of me.
Oh my God.
And so, you know, these big cities just carry so much, but but you've already done that move to LA. Like you already did one, you've both done one of those big moves.
Right.
And I haven't done that. So it's something that I think about. And like Johnny, as you said, moving to Austin to see like, what is the parallel universe in which I don't need to become Goldie Hawn? like what is the universe in which like I live in a city that is like normal and nice and isn't, you know, this Shark Tank.
Right.
But I don't know. The Shark Tank is very addicting.
It is. And I mean, so, I think it's, I think it's partly because I don't know about how you both feel. And I assume it would be similarly, but like when I came to New York, it was the first time in my life that I was doing something completely for me. And it was, I was just a sponge absorbing so much. So a lot of who I am now is based in who I became once I moved to New York. So it always feels like there's a gravitational pull for me to be back there at times. I'm always romanticizing who I am when I'm there. But there's also the very real reality that we continue to change as time goes on and our needs change and the people in our life change. So I think it's perfectly normal to consider what life would look like in fucking Wisconsin or, you know, Seattle or Austin and know that whatever decision, if you choose to go for a month, if you choose to move your entire life, that you will find joy because it's the decision that you've come upon. And, you know, it's so... It's not like back in the day where it's like we moved, we had our family, we had to stay in one place. Like millennials are so – and Gen Z are so fluid, not only in our gender or sexual orientation, but even in our ways of life. So
I love – and this is going to sound cheesy, but like I love America. Like I love the United States of America. I love the different states. I spent many years touring and I've been in every, you know, people are like, oh yeah, I love Omaha. Mm. I love Oklahoma City. I've been to these places, places I would have never gone.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been as a Cuban boy from Miami, I don't know that I would have had a reason to go to Omaha, maybe like for a 3-day weekend if someone's getting married or something.
Right.
But I got to be there multiple. I've been there multiple times. I use that always as an example because it's a great place. Mm-hmm. And I got to the only reason I visited those places is because I was visiting on tour. Yeah. So it opened my eyes. And again, like I love all, you know, I'm kind of, I'm high maintenance, but I'm easy to please. So, you know, I can go to these places, you know, I don't need like the Ritz-Carlton every night. So there's something really fun about getting to see that there is life beyond the citadel of New York City and Los Angeles. And I kind of do think that there's a time coming up soon where my New York expiration date may not be a complete expiration date but I might just need a little bit of an extended break.
That podcast I sent you guys of the How to Be a Better Human.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It's really, it really kind of is what we're talking about now. The host of Hidden Brain was the guest, and he was talking about, and
he said, how do I know what my future self wants?
Right.
There you go.
Well, I have a question for both of you.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm very much like, I see what I want when I'm 70. Like I see a house with a wraparound porch and me having coffee on a rocking chair on the porch. Like, I want to know if you, either of you ever think about your life in the future and say, this is something I need to have. And if that,
the coffee moment, porch. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know Juan, you know, we were talking about how you had a vision of, and I'm assuming that you have visions for self in the future. And I want to know if that dictates any of these decisions about moving, about staying, about, you know what I mean?
It does. I'll say when I was growing up, I never really saw life after 18. I was like, I'll be like 18. And then I just didn't have no idea what was going to happen after that. I knew that it was going to be fabulous. Right. But I had no clue. All I know that I'll tell you, the only thing I knew that I wanted was a gorgeous big house. That to me is what matters. I need a big, I mean, talking big, like 8 bedrooms, 8 baths. I need like a big house. That's the only thing I really see for myself. Work. I have to have it. And it's because I've always dreamt of the specifics of like where it is or what it is, not so much. I mean, I can kind of see what I would like it to be. Mm. But I just want to have, when I'm older, when I'm 70, I want to be able to have a house that I can host like my entire family in.
Mm-hmm.
That feels good to me. Not that I want to host them all the time. I just want to be able to.
Right,
I want to have a house that's big enough that if I have kids, they can get married there.
In the backyard.
That is how I think. I'm essentially
mother of the bride.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, I'm essentially like a Nancy Myers leading lady.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, that's kind of what I saw. Like what I saw as a kid, I always knew that I just wanted a big house, mm-hmm. and I knew that I wanted to be successful, but it wasn't like very clear. And I would say this still, that now I have more clarity as to what I want mm-hmm. in my professional life and all of that, et cetera. But when I'm older, I want to be able to go to gay bars. I want to be somewhere I can go to gay bars and go see drag shows and have fabulous dinners. And there's like other older queer people around.
Close your eyes and keep. Yeah, I see you seeing it. Close your eyes and keep going.
Yeah, I want like a place where it's a queer community where I can be older, and I want just like a great garden and the house. I want to be able to have like the other queer people and non-queer people over, and I want to have my kids and their families. Like, what I want to be able to host like 25 to 30 people to stay in the house. That feels good to me.
Work.
Wow. That was just really fun to watch you literally have to play. Literally, you're like, I'm imagining for just because there's no right answer. It's just the answer you gave. Yeah, and that was beautiful. That was really beautiful.
What about you,
Ian? 2 dishwashers, 2 refrigerators, 2 washers, 2 dryers minimum.
I think it's so special to, like, you know, because even when we were starting this even when we were starting this podcast, I thought to myself, what a wonderful way to look back at who we are now later on in life and be like, oh, wow, I mm-hmm. did get that. Because I did an interview with someone recently and mm. she played a video of me when I first moved to New York. And she said, what do you see yourself in 5 years? And I got so emotional because like 4 out of the 5 things that I said I wanted, I got less than 10 years. So I think it's such a special thing, even now where we are in life, to say out loud what we see, because we don't know, you know, the things could come, or it could be even bigger or less than we imagine. Mm-hmm. And it's just so fun to hear back and be like, work, you know? So that's why I always ask, because I'm like, I'm also fascinated at like what people my age envision for themselves as well, because I know so well about what I want. But yeah, Ian, what's your...
And how that's ever changing.
Oh, for sure. What's your thing? What do you see in the future?
While Juan... can you talk, Juan?
Can you hear me?
Oh,
can you hear me?
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, you're good.
Okay, I was going to say, but Johnny, you said, I was thinking like retirement, what I think. I mean, I could tell you like a 5-year plan, like what I think, but I wanted to hear more. Where do you see that house with the wraparound porch?
Well, it's interesting. I just see it in the future. I see it happening. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's mm-hmm. retirement. I don't know if it's 3 years from now. I mean, it would be nice if it were 3 years from now. I'd love to sit and rock and have coffee every morning because I wish I could now. But it's always Glenn something
Close
that I
vibes.
Right. And when you said Nancy Meyers leading woman, I'm like, absolutely. I want the Diane Keaton Hamptons home where she walks on the stairs. She has her white turtleneck. She does her writing by the window. That, you know, she has room for the old man to stay if he wants in another room, if he doesn't want to. It's very that. And yeah, that's why I ask, because I feel like it's a special thing to say out loud.
Yes. It's really fun to hear you guys talk about it because my mood board is also like extremely inspired by hearing what you guys are saying and just like reminding you. That's why like I miss going to class and kind of being in school sometimes, because that was the way that you saw what lit up other people. And so you're like, oh, I'm going to take from there and I'm going to take from here. Like, I like how that's working for her or whatever. Sometimes to a detriment where my mom's like, I'm not buying you those Gucci glasses, but she caved and we eventually did. I actually didn't have to beg for them. Those were offered. That was offered. But,
oh my God.
But hearing you both talk about like the Nancy Meyers thing really brought me to a core memory. So I grew up obsessed with You've Got Mail. It's one of my favorite Nancy Meyers, is it Nancy Meyers or is it Nora Ephron?
Nora,
I think it's Nancy Meyers.
Nora Ephron.
Oh, it is Nora Ephron. Okay. Yeah. Well, honestly, they're quite interchangeable in the best way.
They're very similar, yeah.
And that like that apartment that Meg has, the way it just felt so comfy and big. And then and also Tom Hanks' apartment that he shared with Parker Posey. Like that kind of like old New York vibe is something that I've always loved and wanted. But then as I've gotten older and like lived in my adult life, like there are all these experiences, like being with Chris and the relationships I have and walking into so many beautiful friends' homes where I'm like piecing and taking like, oh, I like this over here. Oh, I like, I would love a tall ceiling. I want my bedroom to be big enough that if I had to stay in there, that walking to the bathroom is like, oh, I gotta get up and like walk to that bathroom because it's like 15 feet away, but it's the door closed, no one else has access to, but then the shades come up with a button click. And then if I have questions, I can just ask Google and it's just like, oh my God, like heated floors in the bathrooms. And I want it to be like over a hill, like either a hill or something where you look out and there's like pasture vibes. Like, you know, it's like super open. Pretty much what I want is like a Hamptons home, I think, and my New York, like fierce, lofty, either like brownstone or like lofty apartment. But I think it just depends because it's always changing. I change my mind a lot.
You do.
Oh, you do.
Yeah.
But there are the major features I know. But I think I'll always, if I can afford it, if I'm ever blessed to own a home, on my own, I would love to keep an apartment in New York City because, you know, mm-hmm. everyone always talks about, I would never want to be old in New York City. And I think I don't want to be old in New York City exclusively, but if you can afford to like be here, I mean, this is like a very privileged thing, but then like leave because New York has so much to offer.
Yeah.
As far as entertainment, I'm going to need things to do. I like to do things. I like to get dressed. I need a reason to put on makeup. You know what I mean? I need a reason to like get up, fill in my eyebrows and hit the step. Yeah. You know, I want to go to the shows. I want to go to shows, by the way, museums and things and all that.
Yeah. Is one of the last places that you can have a doorman. Like doorman building is like not only in New York, but like that is a very, very specific New York thing. So if you want that Central Park moment and you know, that is fierce. You know what I mean?
It's not like Miami Beach, baby, Miami Beach. You can get a doorman, okay?
No way.
Of course you get a doorman at Miami Beach. Still.
Work.
All the high rises.
Yeah, all the high rises.
I guess. Yeah, you're right.
But you're seeing
it's not the same. It's not the same.
Here's the difference. And I think in Ian's head it might like the picture of it. In a Miami high rise, you have a desk that's 40 feet long and maybe two people manning it. Mm-hmm. In New York, you have Daryl, who has worked there for 40 years. He knows every single resident by first, last name, birthday. You know what I mean? Different. So whereas his Miami is like, oh, we got a new one this week. Okay. Yeah. You know, so I totally get that. Like,
it's giving gilded. Yeah. It's giving gilded age. Just to paint a picture, this is the book I'm reading, by the way. I just bought this book. It's called Aster, written by Anderson Cooper and Catherine Ho. They both co-wrote his book, Vanderbilt. And I was in the bookshop yesterday in Larchmont and I had a nice little like walk with myself. And I was like, oh, I just, you know, those moments where you're like, you don't really have to be anywhere. And I didn't feel like I owed anyone any work and I could be with myself. So I like went to Larchmont and I walked around and I walked into the bookshop and it was lovely. And I bought this book because it seemed interesting and I didn't check with anyone. You know, it was another moment of like, Ian, you just made a decision by yourself. I didn't text anyone about it. I didn't be like, hey, have you read this? Like, what do you think? Because I know you guys are laughing because
Juan,
you know,
Amazon reviews.
No, I did not. It just sounded like exactly what I wanted to. Cause I also love like a Titanic moment, anything with like, you know, like beaver pelts and just like fur. Like I want to know, I like that time.
And you are Victoria Beckham. You are Posh Spice.
But I actually did come from a very sort of working class, like very, very working class. Like there's a picture of like me and my mother's mink when I was like 7 years old, but you know, we sold that. It's not, we don't have it anymore.
Oh, she had a mink.
Anyway, it was a different time.
It was a different time.
It was a different time.
But you were saying you usually call people before you make every decision.
With like certain things, like when I'm making content, you know, I'm always checking in with you. Or like, what do you think of this wording? Yeah. Or like, Jesus Christ, caption help, John Eric, you, Jacob, Johnny. Literally, I'm like, what about this? Because you know what it is? It's not even that I doubt myself. It's because I just know that at least the four or five people I just named, you guys are so good at it. Mm. So why would I not reach out to my writer's room of best friends and be like, what are your thoughts here? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
It's always good to workshop things. Yeah, with things like that.
I wish I was more like that because I'm very much
Well, you can be. You can check in with me. Help.
I'm the Virgo. The Virgo in me is always like, girl, you know what you want to say.
Yeah, you know what
you're going to say it better than anyone can help you with, which is not true. That's just what happens in the brain. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to find a way to debunk whatever information or advice I'm being given because, you know, it's so funny to hear you say that because I'm like, wow. I really am like such a solo flyer that like I have to force myself, even when it comes to like problems or like being sad or like, you know, it does take a second for me to be like, maybe I should call someone about this instead of, you know, just putting on the wedding planner and thinking that's going to solve my problem, you know?
And I also think that like I tend to, even though I talk a lot, I feel like I I talk a lot about my problems and my thoughts, but I'm really just saying them aloud. I'm not asking for anyone's opinion on them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just sharing.
I'm just telling you
that, like, the city is indeed, as the beggar woman once said, the city is indeed on fire. Okay? City on fire. I'm just letting you know. But what can I say? What are you going to do? Nothing. I'm not asking for any advice.
Yeah, you're like,
my phone,
wasn't a question.
My computer thinks that I am asking for Siri's advice all the time. And really, girl, let me talk to my friends on the podcast. She's in my ear asking me what my question is. She's asking me if I'm asking about Sweeney Todd. No, I know everything I need to know about Sweeney Todd all on my own. Thank you very much, Siri. But I will say, Ian, you know, if you are with coming back to New York and having this moment of kind of this like return to a bygone kind of moment in your life, this like younger Gilded version age. Of yourself. What is the thing? Your very own Gilded Age, right? Well, here you get to walk up and down Madison Avenue and really, really feel it.
Exactly.
But what is something that you left behind in New York that you are eager to find again?
Ooh.
A person, a thing, an idea, an experience. Mm.
Wow. You know, I started noticing this last year in LA a real lack of like oomph and like pep in my step, like waking up in the morning. I would feel like it was like, besides moments of dread and just like the basic, you know, mid-30s despair, I was just kind of like, I don't know how to start my days the same way. And I used to always know how to start my days in New York. It felt, even if I didn't know exactly what the day was going to be, I was always excited at just stepping outside and just like stepping out, as Liza once sang, because that always infused my day with a spontaneity that like, that kind of fueled me. And even if, again, so it wasn't like decisions had to be made before leaving that apartment, but you just knew, you know what? I want to move today. I want to feel like a really brisk, like brush of wind on my face. Like I can't wait to experience that again, you know, and to kind of feel some friction against my day to day. Like I'm someone who I'm learning, I think like requires a little bit of that to push against, because it turns me on. It quite literally like forces the engine that is Ian to have to contend with whatever it is in front of me. And in LA, I was, you know, I wasn't like putting myself maybe in front of so many things, but it can be frictionless in the sense that like, you know, it's a lot easier way of life. And
I see what you mean.
Frictionless is
a good way to describe LA.
You know, it really,
it can be.
Yeah, it can be. Exactly. And that's what's also interesting about, to not to put too fine a point on this like last 2 weeks, where my heart rate went up 12 ticks, by the way. We didn't assess that. But I started noticing that LA kind of like opened up to me in a way where all of a sudden you're seeing it with new eyes. I'm making friends, which I love to make, but like ones that I'm like, I'm going to hold on to you because I really like you. Like all of that started happening. And isn't that how it always is? Like once you decide to kind of like leave a place that you've been calling home. And I think like it's all just vamping me up to get back to that Ian who just was like ambitious. I want that, like, and I still am, but like there's I'm curious about what this new gilded moment for me will mean about like Ian, who's now, I guess, a content creator, who's the actor, who's like, you just, there's so much that's been added since I've lived in LA. So to come back to New York, I'm curious about how this recipe will land, you know?
That's a lot of things to look forward to.
Yeah, it's like, I can't really answer your question with like this one specific thing, but also restaurants, like food. I'm excited to be like, yeah, meet you there and like just walk to Greenwich Village and, you know, go to, I don't even know the restaurants. I don't even know where people go, you know? So I'm excited
finding
to go.
Where
does anyone even go these days? Post pandemic, I've got no idea what's going on. I literally walk around Tribeca and I'm like, where am I? I have no idea. Like, it's cool. This is new. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like, you know.
And I'm open. I'm open to it all.
I'm open.
Yeah. I'm open for business. So yeah.
Johnny, do you think that what is like, is New York back to New York in an inevitability for you? Is that something that will happen, do you think? Or is this like may only if it, it or is it, if there's a reason for that season, then maybe, but like, or is it like otherwise? No,
I think that is, I think it'll happen. I don't know if it'll be a permanent departure from where I am now. I do think that I miss who I was when I was there. And not the, not the younger version of myself, but the curious, creative, you know, I think, and I don't think it's LA as much as it is my complacency with where I am in life. I think I miss, and you know, not to say that a city can't provide you, because even when I was at ACL on Sunday and I had a moment in the crowd with these brand new friends, you know, I mean, a lot of them brand new, some of them I've known for a while, but I just remember thinking to myself, wow, this is such a beautiful moment to be included in this group that I don't really know, but to feel so taken care of, to be in a city that like I do not know anything about, but also to be so open and excited to like learn new things. It felt so, I felt so unafraid. So I think, yeah, there's definitely a possibility of me going back to New York because I'm so curious to see, you know, I also lived in New York at a time where I was broke. I had to, you know, jump over turnstiles and eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day and, you know, turn down drinks so that I could get drinks. You know, my life is not that anymore.
Great tactic.
I would love to see what life would be like as a 36-year-old man in a city that I know like the back of my hand, but also have been 6 years removed from, and to get a new sense of like who I am in that environment. So, you know, I think, I don't know that there's a permanent place for me, but I know that New York is always permanent in my heart. So yeah, definitely. Okay. I don't know how soon I'll be back, but I definitely want to be back ASAP.
Yes.
Well, and when you are back within that year, I will probably be broke. And so I will be saying, oh, no, I'm not drinking. And so I'm not drinking today. And you will start, you will be buying me my drinks.
Yeah. Oh, like, oh, really, queen?
I like that.
Yeah. I hope we have that moment. What a true circle of life moment that would be.
LOL. Well, now people are listening to the pod.
Listen, in Austin, you've got men taking care of you. Say what you say that again. I spoke over you, Johnny.
No, I was just going to say, like, you know, now people know that the thing is out there. So, Ian, if you're out and you're like, you know, I'm not drinking tonight, people are like, oh, girl, we heard you on the pod, you know.
We heard you on the pod.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
But you see, Johnny, everywhere you go, you've got people taking, you're taken care of. In Austin, you've got your Brazilian security team.
Yeah, I mean, wow. What's so funny also is the, you know, I was comparing, there's always like the comparisons of like how people are in LA, how men are in New York, how people are.
Sure.
There's such a kindness sometimes with, you know, people in smaller cities that feels, you know, I always say like my friends in New York are bitches first and angels later. And in LA, I say a lot of people are angels first, bitches later. And, you know, in small towns, I just find such a genuine energy from a lot of people. You know, and that's based solely on my experience. But there is such a like warm welcome of like, what, like when I've told people, oh, I'm here for a month, they're like, what? What? Like they're truly perplexed, because I'm like, why wouldn't I? Like, why not? Like it's gonna be fun. And they're like, oh, well, we've gotta go to dinner, we've gotta hang out, and you know, it feels nice. And I also open myself, I don't walk into spaces like, you know, protecting myself and, you know, thinking I'm, you know, the grand dame of anything. So I think it's easier for people to be kind when you're just showing up like, hey, what's your name? Nice to meet you. You know? So I've noticed that.
Well, too. And that's what happens when you put yourself in new situations is the curiosity took you to a new place. And there's no other way to be in order to get the best of that experience, which would be a nice human who's just happy to be there because you're in quite a vulnerable state. You're putting yourself literally out into a new place. And that is very disarming to people. That is very welcoming because people go, oh my God, this person's doing something that they're wow. By the way, I was going to ask, like, why are they so shocked? You can answer, but then I'm going to tell you why I think there's they're answering in this way. But like their awe at you being there for a month, I wonder, I would be curious, is if it's because they're like, oh my God, like he's doing that thing that made, like, I wish I could do that. I wish I could just pick up and like go make an idea the reality that like maybe I don't have the freedom to, and that is very inspiring to people. It feels nice. You're like, oh my God, like, do you know what I'm saying? I think so. Maybe that's just my projection.
I thought it was like, why would you come to Austin for like a full month? Like you come for like Labor Day weekends. So you can like suck some dick on Sunday night and be off on Monday versus like a month here? Girl, why are you here? I think that's maybe more likely.
Maybe it's both. Because I know.
But remember, we're talking about Austin like it's baby honey.
Yeah,
Austin is the cat's meow. she's not sitting at the head of the table, but she can have dinner with New York and LA, but she can definitely have lunch. Dinner is Seattle, New York.
Dinner is Seattle.
LA.
Dinner is Seattle. Seattle's,
I don't want to eat in Seattle at dinner.
Seattle's a fabulous place. it's one of our big ones.
It's one of the country's big ones. It's bigger. I wouldn't say it's a Chicago. I wouldn't say it's a Miami.
But with Chicago, along with Chicago, we're not gonna have just dinner for three New York, Chicago, and LA and just look at each other.
Miami's
the girl that you go to drinks with after dinner. I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
She's not eating.
No. And she's got the drugs. She's having.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So
I think Austin is a nice brunch.
Austin is a brunch moment for sure.
Yeah. Brunch. Atlanta comes to dinner.
Yeah.
Doesn't pay, but comes to dinner.
Or late. Or shows up late.
No. Atlanta can come to dinner. Miami and Atlanta come together.
Oh.
Atlanta show up together for drinks.
The twins.
Yes. This makes sense.
And the twins, exactly. They're like June and July.
Yeah.
I love that video. But dinner is New York, LA, Chicago. Mm. I think Seattle.
Okay.
Okay.
I think Seattle Dallas is like afternoon comes to tea. Dinner.
Okay.
Wait, what? What'd you say?
Dallas. Dallas comes to dinner, right?
No.
Dallas-Fort Worth, the Dallas Metroplex is not big enough.
Okay, so you know what I think we have to do?
Sort of like importance and size. But anyway, here
this
are
is
there.
What I think, based off of this list, though, we need, what this is telling me, we have to go to these places to go rank these out. To be like, who would be sitting at the dinner table with New York and LA, and what was the third one? Chicago. And we should go to all these places and then discuss and then truly do, we checked it all out, and this is how we would rank them, and this is where they would fall. Right. I think that'd be funny.
It'd be very fun. I mean, full tea. If we were really going, LA would be at dinner with New York, Hong Kong, Paris, Amsterdam. You know what I mean? It's like, we can't. I love these other cities.
LA would absolutely be late and also say that that's just because she's a Taurus or a Capricorn or whatever.
She couldn't find anywhere to plug in her Tesla. Ubers were taking forever.
What I love about this there's so many just like all of this is from personal experience, right? Like we all like Juan saying dinner at your dinner's gonna be with Seattle. I'm like, I would never invite her, but you know, just to dinner. But like, I think it's so special because everyone has the reason I chose Austin as a place that I wanted to spend a month in was because it speaks to me. It won't speak to everybody. You know what I mean? And I think that's really special to like, you know, go places where your heart sings. Like go back to the places where you have a nice time, where you had a nice meal. like dig deeper into that. That's the same way I feel about people too. Like I want to hang out with people that make me feel something that I remember, that I like think about them when they're not around, you know? And I think that's there's so much in our lives that we like do because we think it's the thing that the girls are doing, the thing that we're supposed to do. But I always think it's good to get back to like what it is that you, where your heart sings, go back to that place over and over and over again. You know what I'm saying?
Have a little plot twist of your own.
Exactly. You know, that's people asking me about the move. They're like, oh, so like what prompted it? What prompted it? And I found myself being like, I think it sounds fun. It sounds exciting. Everyone's like, oh, are you moving for work? I'm like, I'm moving for my soul. You know, I'm moving for me. I'm literally moving because but it's such an interesting thing I noticed these last couple of days with the conversation because they all, not that they wanted, but the question started with, oh, it must be for something, kind of like a tangible, you know, like whatever. And then I found myself having to like justify, oh, well, I got a really good apartment and I got this deal. And it's like, well, no, like that's a part of it. But it really just has to do with like, I'm genuinely curious about how fun it would be to go back to, you know what I mean? It sounds like a good idea.
Next time someone says that to you, they're like, what, you know, what's the reason? You say, baby, it's New York. That's, yeah. Punto. You know what I mean?
Ya se acabó. Se acabó.
Baby, it's New York. Why would I not want to go? You know?
Exactly. That's such a
Real Houses of Miami answer.
Yes. Very that.
But they would say, but sub New York for Miami.
Yeah. I put forward. It's New York.
It's New York. It's New York. Where else would I be, Memon?
O sea, there's no other place like it. It is the place. Mm-hmm. So.
Exactly. Well, wow. Ian, I'm excited to have you over here back.
Ugh. And I'm excited to have you over and you to see like this apartment. And
I know.
And
we're going to record there. We're going to record at your place and Johnny will be remote.
Yes. Oh, that would be great, actually.
Or maybe I'll be there.
I get good light.
Ooh. What was that?
I said I get good light.
So like.
Oh, exactly. Uh-huh. Who knows? Maybe. That may have to happen. We may have to come so we can just all be together. Mm-hmm. And sit on the couch.
That would be really fun, actually.
Bueno. My God, this has been fun.
That's great, amazing, you guys.
So we'll see you next week. Easy. Los quiero muchísimo. Thank you so much, everybody.
Los amo.
Bye.
Besitos.
Ciao. Bye.